today we're going to be talking about cancer. And I've been looking forward to this. Not that I look forward to cancer. I hate cancer. We say that. I think everybody has said that just right out loud. And they meant it. And today maybe we'll try to amend that. And not that we don't hate it. We can still hate it, but we can fight cancer, too. It's one of the leading causes of death and disease in the U.S. Roughly, what is it now, 1.8 million new cases every year in the U.S. of cancer. And then more than 15 million Americans living today have a cancer history. Okay, that's sort of the good news, is that people are living productive lives even with cancer. It does take an enormous toll, though, on folks and, well, a financial impact as well. And there's no getting around that. Insurance does help an awful lot, that's for sure. But for right now, I want to acknowledge a friend of mine from the hometown of Glendive, Brad, who lost a battle with cancer last night. In this moment, I want to acknowledge Brad and the family in that loss, that struggle. And I know how that toll continues. We know personally. I think we all know personally how that toll continues on. And we know that Brad's in a better place today, and we're thankful for that. He was not old, mid-50s. And that's one thing about cancer, too, is that it's not a respecter of age. It doesn't just tug at your hearts when you see the young who are battling leukemia or brain cancer, or the old and not so young alike. The end-of-life stuff, that's tough as well, because you want to have quality of life all through your days, and cancer can take that away. Brad, rest in peace. And I just want you to know, family members, my wife and I are praying for you, Julie, Deb, Brandon, Dayton, Tammy, all the family members. I know you can't spare the tears. Don't spare the tears. That's an important part of this, too. But don't forget the joy, too. I know that Brad exuded it. He did. That guy had a joyful heart, didn't he? He had a good heart, too. So I'm sad for the family, but thankful that he's in a better place. And, you know, folks who know Brad or who have known anybody who has suffered through, maybe succumbed to cancer, the words they speak, I hate cancer. I know we say that out loud, but we can amend that. We can hate cancer, but let's hate it in a motivating way. There are ways to fight cancer. Supporting cancer research. Ask questions of public officials. We did that with the Cancer Action Network last week, and today we'll follow up on that. You can help a friend out who is battling it, family members, and don't overlook, too, the breakthroughs that have been made in early detection, especially. You hate cancer? Fight it. Keep it away from you and your family. We learn more about that here today on Voices of Montana. A question or a comment, please don't hesitate here, 866-627-5483 to call and to speak to our guest today or share your story. That's always important too. Or text us here at 781-627-5483. Our first guest is later on we'll be talking about rural health care and then health equity for our Native Americans as well. But overall, let's get the view of what the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network is. We did this series last week with the Senate candidates, and Kerry Yoder is with us as the state lead ambassador for that program, which they have thankfully, Kerry, abbreviated ACSCAN, but it means American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. How are you doing today, Kerry?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you for being on the program. This election season, how much does cancer resonate? I know we talk about health, and healthcare is always one of the top, not always the top, but quite frequently in the top three concerns for American voters. How much is cancer on the minds of people as they go to the polls?
Well, I think it should always be on the mind of our voters as we go to the polls. As we know, cancer touches everyone. Thank you so much for sharing your personal story this morning, Tom. We all have been touched by cancer in some form, and it is just very important to hear how our elected officials are going to make cancer a priority when it comes to I'm getting a little teared up. It's still it still really is fresh on my mind, even though it's been a few years since cancer has touched my my family. It still gets me a little emotional when I start talking about it. So we really want to educate the public and candidates about the actions lawmakers should take to make fighting cancer a national policy priority. So that's why Cancer Votes is so important, and we are so glad that we have been given the opportunity to share these Cancer Vote questions and then the answers that the candidates shared.
I appreciated that, too. Like I say, it holds our candidates accountable for this sort of thing. If you want, you know, you can share your personal story, because I think we all have this personal story, and that's what binds us when it comes to cancer. We don't. And I guess the good news is that there are more and more people who are living a productive and healthy lives with cancer. But this battle's not over, is it?
No, it's not. And unfortunately, so many Montanans and Americans hear, you know, the diagnosis of cancer. And we're so thankful that there are new treatments coming out every day due to research that are helping our survivors to live longer lives with a better quality of life. But it's a horrible thing to hear. So my mom was diagnosed with uterine cancer in 2010, and that was the first time that I had personally dealt with cancer. And she had surgery, and that was a pretty easy one, didn't have to have any radiation or chemo. But then again, in 2014, she got diagnosed with a very aggressive breast cancer. At that time, she was 75 years old, and I just could not believe that we were hearing those words again, and I was so thankful that I was by her side when she was given the diagnosis, but I was not prepared for what that journey was going to be for all of us.
Wow. No, you can't prepare for it, even though you might have watched it maybe from afar, maybe, you know, up close, not quite as personally as that. And what I think is interesting about this is that that toll continues. As you kind of expressed earlier, this has been a number of years, but it's every day it sort of stays with you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I thought as the years went on, it would be easier to talk about the story. But when you hear somebody else's personal connection, I think it just brings back all of those memories and feelings that you had. So I'm very thankful that I was able to get involved with ACS CAN and be able to fight back against cancer, because I felt so powerless when I was going through that cancer journey with my mom.
Yeah, what is ACS CAN? What does it do?
So ACS CAN is a nonpartisan grassroots advocacy organization. We are kind of the arm of the American Cancer Society. Because of funding and stuff, we have to have a separate organization for the advocacy part. But we work with local, state, and federal officials on policies that affect cancer patients, survivors, and their families.
And I know I got to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk more about cancer for our Native Americans. Zalana Jarman will join us. She's a registered nurse and part of the Montana American Indian Women's Health Coalition, president of that organization, as a matter of fact. Before we go to headlines here, just a reminder, ACS-CAN, that's the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, they don't endorse or oppose any candidates, and they say what they'll do is just work with any candidate. So I appreciate that stance as well. We aired our series last week, the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network Voter Guide, regarding our Senate race in Montana between Steve Daines and Steve Bullock. And you can find those responses to four questions, one of them dealing with American Indian health care. That's at cancervotes.org/Montana. They're all lined up there quite nicely. From the ACS-CAN is Kerry Yoder, the state lead ambassador. And we're welcoming now Alana Jarman, a registered nurse, as I mentioned, and her expertise is in our Native American population as president of the Montana American Indian Women's Health Coalition. Good morning, Alana. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm great.
Thank you for being here. Would you outline for us the some of the statistics? I hate to call them statistics, but some of the difficulties that we see in these statistics that our Native American friends struggle with when it comes to cancer.
Yeah, the statistics actually are pretty disheartening to see with American Indians, you know, not only in Montana, but I would say throughout the U.S. And I've been privileged to be a part of national American Indian projects that have shown that American Indians actually have more health issues and have significant greater rates of cancer in American Indian populations. So it's roughly around 570 new cases and about 195 deaths per 100,000 population, compared to 451 new cases and 157 deaths per 100,000 in white Montanans. So the statistics definitely show that we need we need to do some work for sure in our state.
And you guys have been doing some work. Your coalition has started putting pen to paper, so to speak, and then from there, taking action. Talk about some of those solutions that will specifically help our Native community.
Yeah, so with the Montana American Indian Women's Health Coalition, it was started more as a screening initiative with the Montana Cancer Control Program back in 2000. And it really helped to try and screen breast and cervical cancer and really has evolved into more of a comprehensive coalition to address health inequities throughout American Indian urban and reservations throughout Montana. And so we definitely try and do more of this, you know, of a culturally appropriate approach with our work. And we've done a lot of education, a lot of outreach, things like Pink Bingo, educating Montana American Indian women about breast and cervical cancer screening, and just really trying to improve the screening rates for prevention purposes.
Carrie, I got about a minute here. Would you follow up with that? Because screening, I think, is one of the developments over the last couple of years that have really helped in the battle against cancer.
Yeah, so Tom, we have found that screening is so important to catching cancers at a more survivable rate. We really look to our sister organization, the American Cancer Society, for those screening, you know, the ages that people should be screened as far as starting, you know, younger and younger now, especially with colon cancer. You know, we really partner and collaborate a lot with coalitions like the Montana American Indian Women's Health Coalition to make sure that everybody is getting screened as soon as they can for.
We're going to talk more here in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Fastest Hour in Montana Radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
You know, it's kind of become the unofficial rally cry against cancer. I hate cancer. And I think that's just emotional, obviously, but it is all about emotion. It certainly is. And we talked about that early on. I amended that just a little bit to say, you know, we can fight cancer, too. And that's what we're talking about here today. Expressed the loss of friends in the hometown earlier today. And again, thoughts and prayers to Brad and family. We're continuing our conversation here regarding cancer with folks who are associated with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. And Carrie Yoder is with us. She's the state lead ambassador for that program. And then concluding, or at least continuing our conversation regarding health equity for American Indians, as Alana Jarman, a registered nurse and the president of the Montana American Indian Women's Health Coalition, is with us. We'll focus on rural access here in just a little bit. Appreciate you all being with us here on Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. Alana, let's go back to this plan that you guys have talked about. And then I got a text message here to pass on regarding education. But as I see some of the priorities here regarding this plan, I like them, and I want to get to some of the things that you have delineated here.
Yeah, no, you know, I think the biggest thing for our MAWAC plan that we developed is that, you know, we want to be complementary to the, you know, current issues that we see at hand in our American Indian population. And I think what, you know, the biggest thing that we look at right now and what we're planning for is understanding how social determinants of health and lack of access to health care, such as, you know, being able to get screened for breast and cervical cancer and colorectal cancer. So, you know, we really want to focus this more on a preventative focus so that we're more about wellness and less about knee-jerk reactions.
Let me ask, and so you talked about one thing I found out here, access to specialists. You know, maybe we'll introduce Leah here in just a little bit, as that's part of the problem that we have in Montana when we talk about rural health care. And that's why one of the questions regarding health care surrounds broadband and getting broadband services so we can get better telehealth in our state. But I've got a question here regarding education from the text line. It's 781-627-5483. And appreciate the text message. Thank you. So, Carrie, why don't you take this on, and then Alana follow up on that. Does education have a meaningful impact on cancer prevention?
Yes, Tom, it does. And I think we need to start with educating people about what cancer is and how it affects. It affects everybody, and that's part of making cancer a national priority when it comes to voting and the election season. So I think all of these organizations, the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network and the Montana Indian Women Health Coalition, you know, we can really work together to make education a priority when it comes to cancer.
I want to follow up on that, because Josh and I are a studio engineer. We're talking about cancer. Can you prevent cancer? And I talked about, yeah, I mean, you don't smoke, don't chew, things like that. Sometimes cancer will have a mind of its own, that's for sure. I think education plays a part in that. But education is what, only as good as the people who, how serious they take it?
You're so right. Education really is the cornerstone for as healthcare professionals, and then for the community, for everybody to understand what they can do, what is realistic, how their life choices really affect their, you know, getting cancer. So, for instance, you know, when we talk about smoking and other social things that, you know, we can do to stop, you know, so we don't get cancer, we have to look at it from a standpoint. Is it a de-stressor? You know, is it something that we're doing because we live in a high stress, high toxic stress environment? That it's something, you know, it's kind of like our security blanket when we get stressed out. And I do a lot of work too with trauma-informed care, and so understanding that there's a bigger issue than just telling somebody to stop. So we're looking at it from a holistic standpoint and saying, you know, what can we do to help you? So that's why I mentioned earlier with the social determinants of health and understanding that access to quality healthcare, access to jobs, access to safe housing. So things like that that really make a difference in people's lives. So when you tell them that, you know, you need to start eating better when you live in a food desert, you know, it's really hard to get nutritious food, fruits and veggies, when all you have are hot Cheetos and a Pepsi from a gas station. So education is a cornerstone, and I think involving all of us to make it culturally relevant and you know, using our health literacy standards so that it's plain language so that everybody understands it.
Boy, I can appreciate that, too. And maybe follow up just a little bit, Alana, with you talked about a food desert. I admittedly have this classic American diet that I've been trying to change. It's meat and potatoes. And then tomorrow I'm having potatoes and meat. How effectively can we change diets, or do we have to be slapped up alongside the head to wake up to those kinds of things?
You know, I think it comes to I think all of us can relate a little bit during this pandemic when we were kind of rushing to the grocery stores and the shelves were empty. Think of it like that for perspective for on the reservation. There is just such a very poor access to quality food and healthy food on the reservations. And, of course, our commodities that are available to American Indians is not healthy at all. High sodium, high sugar. So there's, you know, we're just essentially putting more problems back into the system. So how do we make better decisions? I think it's more so that we have access. And I think I had an interesting conversation with my 20-year-old son and his friends, and I asked them, what do you guys think? What is a way that we can do as a society to help? And they said, you know, one of the first things was we need more businesses on there so that we can grow the economy. And I thought that was a very interesting perspective coming from Native youth. So I think it's just I think we need to open our eyes a little bit, and that there are opportunities for improvement. And I think we need to ask the tribal communities, what can we do to help them in the process?
Going to take a quick break. That's Alana Jarman with the Montana American Indian Women's Health Coalition. She's a registered nurse. Also, Carrie Yoder is with us with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. She's the state lead ambassador. We're going to welcome here in just a little bit cancer survivor Leah Zins, who volunteers for the ACSCAN as the congressional act, and to talk as we move on to rural health care and also cancer survivability. I mean, there's good news there, that's for sure. Once again, we aired the series Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of last week. It's the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network audio voter guide. It asks questions of the Senate candidates regarding cancer, and you can find out more about that. Go to cancervotes.org/Montana. Tom Schultz here at Voices of Montana. Let's welcome, along with Carrie Yoder and Alana Jarman, Leah Zins now, as I mentioned, a cancer survivor and a volunteer leader for ACSCAN as the Congressional Act lead. And good morning, Leah. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well.
Happy to be here. Yeah, I appreciate you being here. And I know as a cancer survivor, now, Carrie shared that her mother suffered through cancer and had cancer and succumbed of it. So she is a cancer survivor. You're a cancer survivor in another way, correct?
I am, yes. When I was 31, almost 32, I was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. I had a tumor growing inside of my spinal cord. So quite a shock to me and my family. Anytime you hear those words that you have cancer, it's really kind of a blow to the whole family.
What was day one like, day two like, day three like?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really, at first I really had to get my bearings. There was a lot of planning, of course. There's like immediately you go into go mode and you're talking to all these different specialists and forming a plan for treatment. And so it's kind of a whirlwind at first. I mean, you don't really have a chance to really sit with your emotions for a little while. So I found out that I had this tumor, and less than a week later, I went under surgery. So, and the surgery, unfortunately, did leave me paralyzed. So after hearing this diagnosis and having the surgery, I was then dealing with paralysis as well.
Wow. That's a story. Of course, cancer of the spinal cord. At that time, you know, you get help. People kind of come and they will flood in, but they're not, I don't know, are they there for the entire journey? Only a certain number are. What would have helped? What would have helped you through this entire journey? And I know it's not over, Leah.
Yeah, and it is really an ongoing journey. And I'm incredibly fortunate to have an amazing family, amazing support system. And I had a history of activism. And when I learned about the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network through another friend who was diagnosed and touched by this disease, you know, I really found another family that could help me through this and know that, you know, I could put in time to help others as well, because you really do need that support system and people who have kind of been through it before to really guide you, even through that emotional journey, can be incredibly helpful.
Yeah. And now you're helping to guide others. Talk about how important it is at election time, as you mentioned, being somewhat of an activist, that people do focus on cancer and cancer research, I think, is one thing that we haven't talked a ton about, but there's hope in cancer research.
Yeah, and it is, you know, 2020 has been a very interesting year. There's been so much things that can grab our attention. So it really is important to still focus on this disease. You know, it really does touch everybody, and research is incredibly important. You know, I, in 2013 is when I was diagnosed, and I was doing research just trying to grasp any information about this particular disease and how, you know, what I could expect. And as I was looking and trying to find information, you know, the only study I could find was 15 years old, and you know, the most of the people that were involved in that study didn't survive past 5 years, that critical marker. And so you know, at first it really scared me, it really freaked me out. However, I knew that with the research that had happened, I had a much better chance. And so, you know, a record number of Americans today are surviving because of previous research. And so it's just critically important to still focus on, you know, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and the National Cancer Institute, and really providing that funding and research support so people do have that hope. When they hear those words, "you have cancer," they know that, you know, they have those doctors that are, you know, doing this critical research that will help people survive.
Yeah, we've come a long way. Still a long ways to go. Leah Zins is with us, ACSCAN, Congressional ACT Lead and a cancer survivor. I wanted to ask this question, and we only have just enough time for quick final thoughts from everybody. But I know with having members of my family who have gone through this as well, the fear just doesn't leave you. How do you get over the fear, Leah, of succumbing to cancer? I mean, for me, it seems like every day we wake up with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I still have to get those scans for a while it was every 6 months, and now it's every year, and it does bring up anxiety, just, you know, knowing what the possibility could be. But I know that whatever happens, that I have the support of my family, of my friends, and also just knowing that, you know, people have behind the scenes are doing this work. You know, we have these people doing research. You know, that really does give me hope for the future, and knowing that, you know, they have, you know, these action plans that are in place.
Leah, thank you. That, you know, that support, it just, you just need that so bad. Carrie, you've got about 30 seconds for final thoughts.
Well, Tom, I just want to thank you so much for allowing Leah and Alana and I to come on this morning and talk about how important cancer is and making it a national priority for our candidates this morning. So I just want to encourage folks to go to www.cancervotes.org/Montana to listen to the candidates' responses.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Out of time. Thank you for getting in this fight, and we're going to win it. Thank you all.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.